Good morning, friends, and welcome to Sunday service here at South Congregational Church. We are blessed to be able to meet once again through technology, and I do pray that you are safe in your quarantine space, that you're doing all the things the health professionals are recommending that we do, and that perhaps you might share this address or tell your friends and family or co-workers about scchartford.org so that they too, if you've never been able to get them to come to church with you, maybe you could just send them this link. You never know how it may be a blessing to someone else. Well, we just finished Easter. You know what one of my favorite holidays is? Thanksgiving. Why would you think Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays? Because it's all about Congregationalists. No, because it's all about food, and I love to eat. But the funny thing about Thanksgiving is hours upon hours goes into preparing this incredible feast, and then as soon as we sit down at the table, in 20 minutes, it's gone. And it's like Thanksgiving is over. And we hobble into the living room and watch football on TV and unbuckle our pants and fall asleep on the couch. And the day after Thanksgiving, it's like Thanksgiving never happened. And most of us don't eat turkey again for another year. Well, I'd hate to see that same type of attitude be applied to Easter. Easter is over. That is true. In a similar way, Jesus was crucified, he was put in the grave, he rose again on Easter Sunday, he is risen indeed, and it's over. You know, even the people at the time were confused. Even though the tomb was empty, most of Jesus' followers, including the disciples, including Cleopas and his friend, who we're going to read about this morning, they still did not understand exactly what happened and why. They were talking about it on the road as they were walking to Emmaus in chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke this morning, when suddenly a stranger came up and joined them on their journey. After a while, we know the stranger is Jesus, but they didn't. After a while of conversation, Jesus gets frustrated. And that's what we're going to be reading this morning. Would you please join me in the unison prayer as we prepare to study the Word of God? Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we would see, our ears that we would hear, our minds that we would understand, and our hearts that they would be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're walking on the road, Cleopas, his friend who is unnamed, and this stranger, Jesus. And then in verse 25, Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. May God bless to us the hearing and understanding of his holy and inspired word. Cleopas was not one of the 12. There are 12 apostles that we're all familiar with. He was, however, more than likely one of the 72 that Luke talks about in chapter 10 that Jesus sent out to heal and to teach and to preach. So Cleopas knew Jesus, and he knew his teaching very well. And yet, like the 12, he didn't fully grasp the point of the empty tomb or what it meant. I mean, if we went back to verse 12 in Luke 24, even Peter, the rock, right? Even Peter, it says, when he was told by the women that the tomb was empty, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stopping, he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings. He wasn't there. Then he went home again, wondering, the Bible says, what had happened. Peter was wondering, what does this empty tomb mean? No differently, the women were wondering. Cleopas and his friend were wondering. And let's face it, that's a hard one to get your head around, I would think. I mean, they knew Jesus was put on trial. Peter knew specifically he was put on trial because he denied he even knew him 3 times. He was convicted. He was nailed to a cross, he died, and he was put in Joseph of Arimathea's family tomb. They knew this to be fact. He died on Friday past. And now they're being told that angels appeared to the women, and the women came to tell them, angels had said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Really? Well, if I told you that I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. Now, excuse the reference to the 1980s hair band REO Speedwagon. Those of a certain age will understand my illustration. But the point is, he heard it secondhand from the women. Cleopas heard it secondhand from others about this empty tomb. They admit it in verse 22, 23, 24. Some women from our group of his followers, they were telling this stranger, went to the tomb early in the morning, and they came back with this amazing report. They said that the body was missing. And they had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. But they'd heard this secondhand. I mean, how many things have we heard secondhand? How many things has Cleopas heard secondhand? I don't want to judge him too harshly. What if I told you, I know somebody who walked on water? That's right. I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who said there was this guy and he walked on top of the water. He also, with 5 fish and a few loaves of bread, fed thousands of people twice. He spoke to a storm and it stopped. had dissipated. He healed a blind man, not just someone who went blind, but someone who had been born blind. No one had ever done that. If I told you that I heard all these things from other people, what would you say? Would you believe right off the bat? I don't know how much Cleopas saw with his own eyes. The scriptures don't tell us. And because of whatever lack of eyewitness experience, when the empty tomb shows up, he and his friend, they don't know what to make of it. Then this stranger joins them, and the stranger begins to connect all the dots. Still, they don't get it, but they are intrigued. They want to know more. They are interested in the story. It reminds me of my own conversion. I know a lot of you have heard my conversion story, but for those who might be joining us for the first time online, my story was not as phantasmical as many. It was 1989, and I was on vacation with my family in Ohio, a little pop-up trailer at Cedar Point, America's roller coast, and we were at a campground, and I was reading a book, Chesapeake, by James Michener. And in this book, on page 205, a conversation begins between the matriarch of a Quaker family, Ruth Brinton, and a Catholic priest by the name of Ralph Steed. And this conversation about faith and about the faith perspective from a Catholic view and from a Quaker view goes on for 5 pages. That's it. 5 pages of an 865-page book. I put the book down. I finished it. I picked up another, and I couldn't concentrate. My mind couldn't get off that conversation. I was intrigued. I wanted the conversation to continue. I wanted more. Cleopas and his friend wanted more. These things that they didn't know it was Jesus, these things that the stranger was sharing with them whetted their appetite. My appetite was whetted, and I had a profound feeling, a conviction, that I had to get back to church. I was a lapsed Catholic. I was a very lapsed Catholic. The last time I had been inside a church had been my wedding and the 3 baptisms of my sons. That's it. All of a sudden, I had this overwhelming desire to go to church. I wanted more. My appetite was whetted. Cleopas and his friend, their appetite was whetted. They wanted more. They had questions. They were wondering. Do you have questions? Are you wondering? Don't dismiss your questions. Ask them. Ask me. Ask the Lord. Ask a Christian, mature Christian friend of yours. God can handle questions. Questions are okay. Cleopas and his friend were listening to this amazing teaching as Jesus, as this stranger, connected all the dots, and finally the light goes on. Now, when did it really go on? When Jesus broke the bread, all of a sudden, I understand. His body was broken and his blood shed for the forgiveness of my sin. That's why he had to die on Good Friday. And then Jesus disappears and they realize they have had an encounter with Christ. But it wasn't the encounter that convicted them. Because if we went on to read, it says in verse 32, they say to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" No, it was the connecting of the dots. All the prophecies of the coming of Messiah, all the predictions of what would have to happen to a Messiah if and when he came, and all of those things happened to Jesus, and the light went on. I mean, Jesus disappearing was just the cherry on top. And they knew the truth. They realized that they had an encounter with a risen Jesus. And this is the Easter story. Is it not? A risen Jesus. If there is no risen Jesus, there is no Christianity. Cleopas understood, finally, Jesus died, and yet he now knows he is alive again. And in spite of the hour, they need to respond. They need to go to Jerusalem. They need to tell the disciples and all those who are in the upper room still trying to figure out the empty tomb themselves. And wouldn't you know it, in verse 35, when they get there, they are telling the disciples that they had recognized Jesus. Jesus did appear to them. As they were telling him the story, Jesus himself is suddenly standing among them. "Peace be with you," he says, confirming all the testimony that he had indeed risen from the dead. Now, you know, there is a common denominator to all of these stories. The women at the tomb, the disciples in the upper room, Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus, and it is this. The strength of our faith and the depth of our conviction directly corresponds to an encounter with Jesus. Sure, the women and the disciples got to see Jesus in person. Cleopas did too, eventually. But that's not why Cleopas' eyes were open, remember? It wasn't because Jesus disappeared. It was because all the dots in the Old Testament were connected. All the prophecies about the Messiah now suddenly made sense. In other words, you know what made them have their lights turned on? A careful and close study of the scriptures. When they had a careful and close study of the scriptures, they understood who Jesus was and what he accomplished. A careful and close study of the scriptures will do the same to us, will help us understand who Jesus is and what he accomplished on our behalf. It's important, a careful and close study of the scriptures. I think of it like this. Think of solar panels. Solar panels produce absolutely no power whatsoever. They are useless until they're in the sun. And then the sun brings them to life and gives them power. Likewise, more wisdom and more understanding of Christ, his role in the world, his role in our lives, and the mission we are called to accomplish in his name is revealed to us in direct relation to the amount of time we spend, not in the sun, S-U-N, but in the sun, S-O-N. In the sun. In the very next page, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, we read, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus is the Word. So, the more time we spend with the Son, with the Word, the stronger our faith becomes. And we can have an encounter with Jesus the same way that Cleopas and his friend did, by spending time in the Scriptures, by connecting the dots, by reading the Gospels and listening to Jesus teach and tell his stories and share with us the parables. Every time we do that, it's the same as if we were sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him with his own lips. There's no difference between encountering Christ in the Word than there is with Cleopas and his friend encountering Christ on the road to Emmaus. So please, as we get farther and farther from Easter, do not let your spiritual power fade. We have some time here during this quarantine. And quarantine is not vacation. Believe me, ask anyone with children. Quarantine is not vacation. Children are not in school. They're going to school remotely at the dining room table. But think about that for a second. Your kids are still growing, are still learning remotely online. They continue to study. They continue to grow. We can do the same. We can continue to grow and to learn by joining on Facebook Live for Food for Thought, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 12:15 p.m. For our prayer every weekday, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Do Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m., all on Facebook Live. We continue to grow and learn through our website, scchartford.org. We can continue to learn through Right Now Media with Bible studies, with truelife.org, with videos, with my blog, pastoradamsperspective.blogspot.com. We too can continue to grow and learn at the kitchen table just like our kids are. And a child should lead. We are blessed to have these resources available to us. Now I know you may not be into technology all that much. I get it. Many of you may not be. But I want to challenge you, I want to ask you, do you think perhaps that might be one of the things God is prodding you to do now, during this quarantine, during this social distancing? Maybe it's time to figure out how Facebook Live works, to figure out how searching the internet works. Don't just dismiss it. Take this time to learn. Most of you figured out how to record a show on your DVR. Most of you have a smartphone. You can send email. You can watch YouTube videos. You know how the remote control works. Many of you have computers that you use at your workplace. So during this time, let's be like our children and continue to grow and continue to learn through technology. Stay in the Son, in his Word, in prayer, every weekday at 4 p.m., in worship. The more we do, the more we learn, and the more we grow. And when our solar-powered faith is in the light, is in the Sun, it motivates us to act just like it did Cleopas and his friend. As soon as the light bulb went on, they had to go to Jerusalem. They had to let people know. Within the hour, the Bible says. See, when the light bulb goes on inside of us, our heart is transformed. And we can't stop ourselves from telling people about him, from helping people, from serving our community. Stay in the sun. Let your solar-powered faith get fully charged. It will make a difference. I know I saw the difference personally when I was a youth pastor up in Maine in my previous church, East Orrington. Every year we used to do the 30-hour famine with the kids. And I don't know if you think 30 hours without food is a long period of time or not, but it is. And when we started out the night, man, everybody was just laughing and joking and horsing around and having fun. And we had games and we had projects and we had lessons. And as the time went by, the energy level slowly subsided like a solar panel as the sun is setting. And at the end of our 30-hour famine, all the kids were lethargic. They were tired. They were irritable. And when we were complete, we all went to Marcia's house. She had been preparing a pasta dinner for us. And I saw it with my own two eyes. As those kids shoveled pasta into their mouth, their energy returned. It was unbelievable. It was an incredible thing to see. Within minutes, the energy was back. The excitement was back. The horsing around was back. I watched them come back to life. That's what happens when we spend time in the sun. When our batteries are weak, it can recharge us. When your faith is fully charged, you will be a blessing to others. You will also be blessed. I mean, let me ask you. Do you remember when you were a teenager? When your mom or your dad said to you, not in an offhanded kind of a way or an expected sort of way, but looked you straight in the eyes and in all earnestness and sincerity said, "I'm proud of you. I love you." Do you remember that? I mean, as a little child, it's almost to be expected, but as we grow into our teens, perhaps oftentimes because of our behavior, it gets less and less frequent. Or maybe we just understand it differently. Remember, if you have children, the moment your child looked you in the eyes, grabbed you by your cheeks, and said, "Daddy, I love you. Mommy, I love you." How did that feel? It made your heart smile, didn't it? Well, how about when you made the team? When you got that role in the school play? When you were accepted at college? How did that make you feel? It made your face smile, didn't it? You felt loved and wanted. Someone was inviting you to join them on the field or on the stage or on campus. How did it feel to be loved and wanted? Great, huh? Well, my friends, on Good Friday, God said, "I love you." On Easter Sunday, God said, "I want you to join me in heaven one day. But in the meantime, I want you to be on my team." So, smile. Skip. When's the last time you skipped? Remember when you were so excited you couldn't stop yourself from skipping? Skipping's like an uncontrollable reaction. We should really skip some more. When's the last time you felt so wonderful that you just broke out in a skip? That's how Christians should feel. No Christian should be grumpy. Now look, I know we all have good days, we all have bad days, but as a consistent attitude, no Christian should be grumpy. If you know a grumpy Christian, or if you are a grumpy Christian, you've been out of the sun for too long. If you want to smile more, if you want to sing more, if you want to skip again, you need to spend more time with the Son. I promise you, He loves spending time with you. How much? This much. He wants to spend forever with you. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful to know that we can have an encounter with you in your word, in your truth, no differently than if you were walking with us on the road to the next town, that our hearts can be transformed, that it can bring us joy because we would feel so loved and wanted that we'll want to skip the rest of the way to Emmaus, or to Wethersfield, or to East Hartford, or to wherever it is we are going, because we know you love us. Father, give us the perseverance to continue to learn and to grow, whether it's through technology of the internet, or just spending some time in your word with you. We are grateful to have it, Lord. Help us to grow. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. A chance to grow and a chance to play. We too hope ahead there is some fun. We pray, O Lord, thy will be done. For what the day ahead will bring, we thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.